is Dennis Hancock. He'll be talking about overseeding alfalfa with rye or annual ryegrass by broadcasting or drilling.
I want to share with you some results of a study, a little small study. Admittedly, it's a little project, but it's something that I think is kind of interesting and something that could be very helpful for our producers in South Georgia, especially, but also in throughout the Southeast. Where we took some cereal rye and annual ryegrass and interseeded that into some alfalfa and looked at the forage system as a year-round forage system, which is incredibly important for us in the Southeast. It's, you know, our dairies, our beef cattle producers need to have something growing out there 12 months of the year. And so that's one of the limitations, actually, for alfalfa is that it actually does go a little bit dormant for us. We use semi-dormant varieties. And so there are 2 or 3 months there where we may not have something growing in that. So it's nice to have a system that would be able to expand that. So, well, you know, it's common for us to overseed with winter annuals, either cereal rye or annual ryegrass, usually with Bermuda grass. If you think about the forage yield distribution of rye and annual ryegrass relative to alfalfa, and this would be a fall dormancy 5 or so for our region. So typically what we're looking at is rye being a little bit earlier and more productive in the winter months. Annual ryegrass would have a little bit more overlap with the alfalfa. But of course, especially our dairy producers would be much more comfortable producing annual ryegrass. We call it the rocket fuel of the Southeast. It's very high quality, very good for dairy rations. And so we have a lot of producers that depend heavily on our annual ryegrass. But of course, we would prefer to do this without having any negative side effects on the stand, and preferably, of course, increasing overall forage yield. So the other major advantage to doing this, and I'm kind of preaching to the choir here because there are a number of researchers here in the audience who've done this, but certainly extending the stand life of the alfalfa is one big critical factor for us in the Southeast. Usually we get 3 good years and a 4th of a mixed stand with alfalfa. Some can go longer than that, but especially with reduction in spring pests, particularly with regard to alfalfa weevil and also our winter weeds. Controlling a lot of our winter weeds or at least suppressing them is very helpful. And there's been quite a bit of research going into that, including members of the audience here. So our objectives in this study were to characterize, relative to an untreated control, the effect of a single instance. And I want to emphasize this was just one planting. I'll get more into that in just a minute, but it was just one planting in multiple years. And we're going to repeat this and do it over a longer term. But drilling and broadcasting of rye, annual ryegrass, or the combination of the two into an existing stand of alfalfa. This was a well-established stand of alfalfa. This was a small plot conducted in central Georgia here. Most of our, we grow alfalfa in all the whole of the state. We have a lot of dairies in this region of the state. We also have quite a few dairies in the southwest corner of the state. But we decided to start here at the Plant Sciences Farm on a Cecil Clay loam. We used a variety from Forage Genetics. It's a Roundup Ready variety. It has a dormancy rating of 4.5. Normally for our region, we would recommend planting a 5 or 6 for this area. We actually get into some of the 8s, maybe even some of the 9s, especially down in the Florida Panhandle region. This in the first 2 years of the study, 07-08 and 08-09, both of those were three-year-old stands. We had three distinct stands that we used. And then because of the restrictions of planting Roundup Ready varieties, we used a four-year-old stand of the same variety in 2009-2010. This experiment was set up as a randomized complete block, small plots here, 4 reps, and the treatments were re-randomized each year, and again, they were moved to a different stand, so we wouldn't have expected there to be much carryover anyway. We had cereal rye. Rinzabruzzi was the variety we used. Annual ryegrass Marshall was the cultivar, and we either had cereal rye or annual ryegrass by themselves, or cereal rye plus annual ryegrass, either broadcast or drilled. And you can see the seeding rates that we used here, which are our standard rates and then our standard rates for recommendation, which is approximately 60% of the full seeding rate. We took two spring harvests. I'm going to divide these up into spring harvest and then the summer harvest. We had an early April and mid-May, three summer and fall harvests. We harvested alfalfa at 10% bloom primarily. This is pretty standard in the Southeast to extend stand life as much as possible. We had a severe drought in 2008, which only allowed for two harvests during that particular year. Flail plot harvester was used, residual height of 8 centimeters. We would take grab samples for dry matter correction, but then we'd also, prior to the actual harvesting, take quadrants for separation of the components. We did not have major weed problems in the winter months nor in the summer months. And again, one of the reasons for using the Roundup Ready trait in this variety was to be able to control that during the summer, to make sure that if we had a weedy spot in a particular rep, that we didn't have a problem with the data. So stem counts were taken as a proxy for stand assessments 8 weeks prior to the winter annual establishment, just to make sure that we had a uniform area. And we then would follow that up 1 week prior to winter annual establishment, just to make sure, double check that again. And then prior to the final harvest of each season. Okay, so we had a very good picture before and one good measurement afterwards to see if there were any effect. We analyzed it proc mixed with rep and year's random effects and F-protected mean separation. Let me skip through this to get onto the results and discussion. As you might imagine, we had a year-by-treatment interaction with total yield and the yield of the overseeded species. And we had a trend here with regard to the alfalfa, so we decided just to analyze everything by year and the treatment interaction here. So we broke this down into year. What you can see here is that in 2007, and let me go ahead and put in some commentary about the years. 2007-2008 was a dry year. 08-09 was more typical, and 09-10 or in 2010 was a very cold winter. Although the summer months were very good, it was a very cold winter. In that particular instance, the yield contribution from the annual species was not substantial. However, there was some slight differences there, mainly due to the species. But let me focus here on 07-08 and 08-09, where we saw a significant advantage for the overseeded species for anything that had the rye in it, cereal rye, or the cereal rye plus annual ryegrass. When we had annual ryegrass by itself, it did not contribute as much, although it still was a significant increase over nothing at all, especially for the season-long yields. Same basic story for 2008-2009, much better growing season. This is more typical of what we would see. But in this instance, what we actually saw for the whole year is a slight drag on alfalfa yields, but that was mainly because of the differences in the first two cuttings, the alfalfa component in the first two cuttings, because alfalfa contribution in the summer cuttings was not affected at all by any of the treatments. So it was mainly this little slight difference here was because of the alfalfa component in the first two cuttings. So if we look at the first two cuttings here, what we can see is, again, the alfalfa component in the first harvest was not very high because it still had not come really out of dormancy yet. We did see more of that in the second harvest, but you can see the contribution of the rye and the ryegrass in both of those two harvests. And again, harvest one is where we would typically see a lot more contribution from the rye, and of course that's what we ended up with. Harvest number two is where the annual ryegrass would typically shine, and where it was by itself especially did quite well. Just a touch on establishment method, in the interest of time here, just suffice it to say that the establishment method did have an effect on the yield of the overseeded species. We see that in all of our overseeding trials, is that drilling typically is going to be better than broadcasting, although not a huge difference. It's enough to make it a best management practice. But at the end of the season, for the seasonal total, there really was not much overarching effect on the total yields, and really didn't have any effect to speak of on the alfalfa, particularly in the summer cuttings. So stem counts, I mentioned that. We had no significant treatment effect in any year on our stem counts, and I'll just throw up the p-values and the stem count values. I've done this on 0.1 square meter, approximately 1 square foot, for those of you that are more comfortable with that term. 55 stems, 56 stems, both of these would be going on to their fourth year, and this is our four-year-old going on to our 5-year-old stand. Has just now dropped below the 40 mark, but again, no statistical effect of treatment. So the conclusions that we drew from this limited study is based on our findings of a well-established stand with rye or annual ryegrass or annual ryegrass could produce an extra 2,000 to 4,000 kilos per hectare. Alfalfa production during the summer, it was not affected at all by this treatment, and alfalfa stand decline, as measured by using a stem count as a proxy, was not hastened. Establishment method did not influence the overall productivity of the system. However, it did increase the overseeded species yield. Additional research is needed, of course, to do this over long term and doing this repeatedly year after year, but this was a good first step for us. So, any questions about our attempts to get a little Georgia grass in our alfalfa?
We have plenty of time for questions.
Okay. Dan?
Those were all fall planted alfalfas. We plant alfalfa in the fall because of moisture issues and weeds.
No, the grasses were all planted in the fall. They would be planted in usually about the 1st of October. Sorry, I should have put that in there, but yeah, it would be planted in the 1st of fall.
So right now you're thinking no stand influence on the alfalfa, but is that going to come when you're cutting the spring?
I'm sure it would. I want to emphasize that this is our very first step, and I think we need to look more closely at it, but to be honest with you, I don't expect there to be a major impact. Unless we start doing something like grazing it off or something like that, where we may be doing more damage to the stands. At this point, I don't see that as, because we really didn't see that alfalfa kick in. It may shoot up a little bit of a shoot there early on, but it really didn't kick in until the third harvest that we made, which would be roughly about 3 weeks later than what we would initially take our first alfalfa cutting anyway. The other comment along that same lines is that actually is better for us for making hay, for those producers that are trying to make hay out of that rather than silage, especially trying to hit our commercial horse hay market, which is a big deal for us too. Probably more lucrative than the dairy.